Welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always by my good friends Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Big R, you have been living just a decadent lifestyle of travel lately, man. I mean, really, Bob Jet Seger's setting. The best when he sang just about life on the road and the excesses and the struggles. Are you back home today, Big R?
I am. I'm back home for a very, you know, I flew back to Ashland just to record the podcast, obviously.
Do you even recognize it, man? Does home even feel like home anymore?
It doesn't. I mean, I'm looking at the walls right now. I'm looking into my kitchen. I'm looking into my living room, just wondering where my home is now.
Where my home is, who I even am anymore. You know,
I don't know who I am anymore.
I lost your soul to this, you know, this grind. Now, what second tier reformed conf did you just come back from, man? Did I have the word like ignite or equip or what are we looking at?
Or
man?
Regional? Was, you know, it a regional something or other?
Yeah, regional.
It actually was Piper. It was, it was
ding,
a
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, you nailed it, man. It was a regional gathering of the Church Plant Network. I'm with the pastor, so I led it with another guy, and we took about 5 hours, and you know, talked about all the things that you know, Reformed pastors talk about in 5 hours. You know,
when, dude, can Reformed pastors talk about anything in 5 hours? That feels a little short.
That's about one.
I know, it was we only covered half a topic. You know, and we just moved on from there.
To be clear for listeners, there's a distinct difference between a conference and a gathering. I'm not sure what it is, but there is.
I feel like
a conference
has like meals and a band, whereas a gathering is really just a meeting with a better name. Am I right?
Yeah, it's a meeting, right? So it's like basically you meet at a church. Yeah. And they do the whole like square table set up, and you're sitting at one end of it with the other guy, and there's about 25, 30 guys in the room, and you just basically.
Yeah, a gathering, you're looking at a little Panera Bread, but you're not looking at you're not talking catered, you know, there's no banquet.
And if it's church planting, it's probably Jimmy John's, because Panera is a little bit too expensive.
Although I feel like Panera is the kind of church planter approved, you know, situation. You can get
you got to remember, this is Sojourn. So the church I'm with that was hosting this is obviously on the hipster tip. So they actually had
quinoa
something
salad, you know, you can get
do we literally we had quinoa salad catered in by a local like delicacy. A local
local quinoa. It's so much better than Panera, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that was the vibe. Let me just throw it out there. You know, there's a lot of Red Wing boots. There's a lot of beards. There was a lot of tight fitting jeans.
Yeah.
And a lot of varying degrees of colors of plaid shirts.
See, it makes me sad to hear you say that, because like hipsters take all the cool stuff. Well, not the tight jeans. Those are cool for girls. But Red Wing boots are the highest quality construction boots out there. Like they're the they're the best work boots on the market, and hipsters have turned them into a fashion statement. I feel like actual construction workers need to fight for their boots on this one and just go beat down.
I agree,
hipsters.
I totally agree. Yeah, you used to have to be kind of a grizzled, like bad A sort of dude to have a pair of like Red Wing boots, and now
not anymore. Now you can be just a fey, feminine, artistic.
Yeah,
like me, and enjoy your you know, your marginally tarnished Red Wings.
Baby, do you have a pair of wings?
You know, man, I'm gonna have to get that job at that 2,000 plus seater mega church before I can afford that big tonight,
you can spring for a pair of those. You know what?
Well,
maybe
they're like $200 a pop.
That's minimum.
Yeah,
like, the ones I've looked at are like $354.
So. Oh, baby. That's a huge investment.
It is. I mean, I haven't. You know, I got to wait for that next book deal.
The wheelhouse of a Happy Rant sponsorship.
Well,
though we need to get Red Wing on the horn, get them to send us three pairs of beautiful baby boots.
That would be phenomenal.
As soon as Missional Wear starts stocking, you know, Red Wing, we'll be able to
Spurgeon branded Red Wing boots.
Debossed Spurgeon outline on the boots. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think,
you know, I prefer the Jonathan Edwards models personally. So, but we can figure that out when they send them.
Yeah,
so.
Edwards was a little more tortured. He was a little more hipster and miserable. So.
Resolved to wear Red Wing boots.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, boys, speaking of covering half a topic, we have We have three topics to cover and not a whole lot of time to do it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to dive right in here. But first, Pipe, do you want to throw a little love to our sponsor this week?
I do want to throw a little love to our sponsor. We have NavPress as our sponsor again. Ted, you have written for NavPress before, haven't you?
I have. I've done some
NavPress. You've written for almost everybody, so I'm just going to assume the answer is yes.
Indeed, it is.
So we'll assume that your relationship with them remains solid. They certainly didn't turn up their nose when I said when I went to them for a sponsorship. But the sponsorship is for the book Bound to Be Free, Escaping Performance to Be Captured by Grace by D.A. Horton. D.A. is a friend of mine through just some different church connections and ministry connections. Really good guy. He is he's planting a church in Los Angeles right now. So he's not just a mouthpiece guy who says a lot of words but doesn't do any ministry. Right. He's on the front lines. But the whole idea of the book is escaping the performance trap to be trapped by God's grace. So the first half of the book is about all of the traps of performance. The second half is all of the traps of God's grace and how they counteract that performance thing. D.A. is a master of weaving culture, cultural reference, everyday life into pretty deep theological points in an accessible way. So it's just a pretty strong personal growth Christian living title. Go check it out. Bound to Be Free, Escaping Performance to Be Captured by Grace. It's available now. You can get it wherever you buy your favorite Christian books. We will also have a link to it in the show notes on the Blazing Center. So you can go find it there if you don't feel like looking it up.
Now you say that you're friends with DA, and I've always wondered this. So you sussed this out for me. When you're friends with a guy who goes by initials, like, do you call him DA, like when you're hanging out playing Settlers of Catan together, or do you call him by his actual name, like whatever the D stands
for?
Well,
the D is Damon, and I will call him DA or Damon. He goes by both, so he's not like a DA Carson where his friends call him Don, and DA is all the people who don't know him. He actually goes.
Actually, my name is DA Carson, but you can call me Dr. Carson. I think that's how he prefers it.
That's right. No, so DA or Damon, just he goes by either, and is fine with either because he hasn't had enough books published yet to achieve just initial status, and he's working his way up, or because he's just a down to earth dude and doesn't tell people what to call him.
Well, you know what? Let's hope he gets to just initial status. I think that'd be
awesome for him.
It would be. Yeah. It would be.
I think that's the hope for all of us here today is that D.A. Horton gets to D.A. Carson status, which is just D.A.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have you guys thought about doing the initials thing?
I have. I just feel like I need to be 73 before I'm allowed to do that.
So you would be
R.J. Martin. R.J. sounds like a 12-year-old boy, you know?
Yeah, but R.J. Martin sounds like either a finance company or like a high-end outdoor goods company. Like, can't you see
that? The outdoor goods.
R.J. Martin leather satchels, like, I can see it.
Oh, dude. That's kind of hipster, too. That kind of fits.
That's not an insult. I'm just saying, like, when I hear R.J. Martin, that's what comes to mind.
I love it.
Guys, I'm literally on GoDaddy right now, like, getting rjmartin.com.
rjmartin.com, yeah.
Ted, what's your middle initial?
A for Arnold.
T.A. Cluck?
No.
Yeah, that sounds like a meet and three.
Yeah, it does. Man, it really does. Yeah. It sounds like some West Tennessee like food truck.
Yep. Yeah, some fried chicken and some roast beef and greens. That's
Piper, what's yours, man?
BW Piper. That is a mouthful.
Sounds like root beer, you know?
Oh, root beer.
It just sounds like root beer from Minnesota, you know?
It's a knockoff of A&W. It's BW's. We just took the next
BW
letter.
Piper,
now.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Dude, that's outstanding. Well, guys, speaking of just epic cultural items, we threw out to our great listeners it had been a while since we had let them weigh in on ideas for the show. And we had a guy write in to say, why don't you guys talk about why Christians should play Settlers of Catan? And if you're not familiar, this is a board game. It takes about 11 hours to complete a game. And it's a game that's sort of set in the past where you're trading like wool and ore and fire and trying to like have dominion over the board. Basically.
It's basically like Minecraft, except a board game.
Yeah, it's like a board game version of Minecraft, which if you live in a house with young boys like I do and you've ever had to listen to them tell Minecraft stories, you just want to gouge your ears and your eyeballs out because it's that boring. But Settlers of Catan, guys, is one of these things that evangelicals have really championed for some reason. I'm not a huge fan of it. And I have to say I'm probably not a huge board game fan at all. Like, playing games to me is just a vehicle for like talking and hanging out, but people who play Settlers are into the game itself and they're into winning the game itself. And they're also really into it on an evangelistic level. I feel like when I was growing up, like for example, I played a lot of like Super Tecmo Bowl on the Nintendo, but I didn't feel that it was my earthly duty to like convert other people to Tecmo Bowl. You know what I mean?
Second question, did you judge people who did not enjoy Super Tecmo Bowl?
No, because I was too busy enjoying it myself. I was too busy like running that sweep with Walter Payton that the defense couldn't stop and just enjoying it. So
are you talking about a video football game, Big T?
I am, baby. I'm talking about the video football game.
I was like the original great. I don't know if it was the original, but it was the one that made video or football video games both famous and fantastic.
It was amazing. But yeah, I don't feel this evangelistic fervor for it. And I feel like nowadays you have to, you know, you have to get converts for whatever it is that you're into. And this just sort of speaks to the Settlers of Catan topic. So guys, do you have any experience with this game? And if so, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I when I was in college, my last couple years of college, I lived in a house during the summers with a bunch of Wheaton grad students who had, you know, we went to church together and worked on staff there and different things. And some of them were like rabid fans. Now, I guess to be fair, there are no fans of Settlers of Catan who are not rabid fans. You're either rabid or you hate it. And I fall into the latter category primarily thanks to them. As far as I could tell, Settlers of Catan is sanctified Dungeons and Dragons. It is.
Oh, I love it.
It's D&D for Christians. Like, it's you live in this strange little world and you build your little fences and you do trading and like you try to build a little empire. But it's like the Christian version because there's no witchcraft or wizardry or magic or sorcerers or anything like that. That was my impression of it. And
nothing fun about it.
I tried playing one time and it was. Like, why not just play Risk? If you're going to play a boring board game that takes forever and you're trying to take over the world, play Risk. Yeah. It's a better game.
Yeah. Big R, what about you, man? What's your experience with Settlers?
Yeah, man, I don't really have any. So I just have a weird, like, you know, my only weird connection with it is that, you know, 10 years ago, I literally had never heard of this game. And we had some friends that we had made at the church we were at. And they kept inviting us over to play Settlers of Catan. I remember at some point I felt dumb and I went to somebody and I said, dude, have you ever heard of this game, Settlers of Catan? And they looked at me like I had lost my mind. Like, how could you not know what this game is? And so all that happened was we just kept denying and denying and we never, ever went over and played the game with them. I don't know why we didn't, you know, because they were buddies.
Yeah.
But there was just something about even the way they described it that just sounded painfully slow and boring. And I was always like, I'd look at my wife and I'd be like, dude, let's just not do that. Let's not. Let's like preserve our friendship with them and not do this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, at some level you feel like it's going to ruin the friendship. You know, if I have to spend like 11 hours around a table like competing with you.
Well, Big T, it's like, I'm like what you just said. Like, dude, I was like, let's just go out and get something to eat and talk.
Yeah.
Like, why do we got to put ourselves through all of this ridiculousness and all this you know, this all this boredom just to like have the conversation that I'd rather have around like a burger.
Or if you're gonna play a game that's like I don't enjoy most board games, but like some of those group games, like I don't know, Apples to Apples or some where it's like it's basically a springboard for laughing at and with other people
it's fast paced.
Yeah, and it's there are winners, but you're not really playing to win, you're playing to crack jokes. That's sort of the point of the game. Or to just – those things are fun. Like Settlers of Catan is like, we're going to commit. We're going to start at 5 and we're going to go until tomorrow morning. And by the end of it, I will be spiteful because somebody else defeated me. And I don't know. I don't see the point.
Dude, it's weird. I mean, yeah, it's like when dudes want to get together and watch like the Lord of the Rings trilogy or like, you know, it's like, dude, there has to be something better. I just want to have a convo. And then, then there's the irony that board games are called board.
Yeah.
Games.
It's built right in.
literally built into the descriptive title. I don't know, man. I can't believe that we're all like not that into board games, though. Phenomenal.
Board games that are fun are playing like Trouble with your kids when they're little, where it's just like, because again, you're just sort of hanging out and doing a thing, but it's not really invested. It's like roll the dice, move some spaces,
Right.
But it's with the kids. It's not the game that it's fun. That's just a vehicle to hang out with your kids. Whereas Settlers of Catan, like the game is the thing. I'm going to go ahead and say that it's like a strange little object of worship for the people who enjoy it in a really weird way. They will deny that. Yeah. They don't realize how weird they are. But, folks, if you love that game, you're a little bit weird.
There it is.
There it is. Done.
Piper lays down the law. Well, guys, speaking of laying down the law, there was another evangelical whose celebrity is maybe as grandiose as Pipes, who said something pretty controversial the other day. From the pulpit. His name is Andy Stanley. He's a megachurch pastor.
You may have heard of him.
You may have heard of him. Oddly enough, fellas, my only like overlap with Andy Stanley, my wife used to work for this like company, this Christian company. She did marketing and they sold like, I don't know, medical equipment or whatever, but it was run by Christians. And there were all these like kind of cheesy Andy Stanleyisms hung up all over the office, which was like this weird Osteenian meets like business book kind of cookie cutter wisdom sort of things all over the walls. So I think I decided that I disliked Andy Stanley at that point. And I have to say this quote of his, this controversial thing didn't help at all. Why don't I just read this real quick and then you guys can weigh in on it. So this is Stanley. He said, "When I hear adults say, 'Well, I don't like a big church. I like about 200. I want to be able to know everybody,' I say, 'You are so stinking selfish. You care nothing about the next generation. All you care about is you and your five friends. You don't care about your kids or anybody else's kids.'" So as you can imagine, that ignited some controversy. I go to a church of about 200 people, and I really, really like it. And I don't feel like I'm not caring about my kids in going there.
You're so stinking selfish, Ted.
I know. Apparently, I'm.
And Ronnie, you're doubly selfish because you pastor a small church.
I know, and I mean, I hate my kids. I'm selfish, and I can't even believe I'm hanging with the guy right now that hates his kids too at his time.
Yeah. It's a lot of self-loathing in on this podcast right now. See, I go to a mega church, but I recently switched to the smallest of the five campuses, which only gets, about 200 people a Sunday. So I'm also...
You hate your kids too then?
I'm working on hating my kids. I'm not quite
Does
all the way there yet.
Does that count though? I don't know, like, if that counts, hating your Piper. I'm offended by that. Don't try to campus out on the thing and act like you're the
fine.
Church.
I love my you're kids. Not. Gosh, guys are so
now, mean. Does the main campus of your mega church have like... the go-kart track and the climbing wall and the stage. They all have a stage in like the youth room so that kids can pretend that they're
Is the children's ministry like a Disney-themed water park? I mean, what are we talking about?
Exactly.
You're about halfway there. So Here's the fun part. The main worship meeting area was patterned after, get this, North Point Church's main meeting area. That would be Andy Stanley's church. So,
which itself was patterned after the Meadowlands football stadium in New York,
or a Walmart. It's hard to tell. So the youth area in ours does have its own stage. It actually has its own building. It's the student ministry. Well, the student ministry is like 2,000 people. It's almost like a separate parachurch thing from our church. But there's no climbing wall or whatever. But there are like leather couches and like corrugated metal walls.
Of course there are.
Yeah, I mean, it's got its own like the rack lighting you see at concerts and things like that.
Piper, how many times do I have to say of course? How many times?
Just keep going. It's fun. I'm enjoying this. The children's
area basically it's a Panera Bread for kids.
it's like that meets like Restoration Hardware.
Meets TGI Fridays. because I'm sure they have like a full kitchen and
I love it. There is one in the church. I don't think it's in the student area. The kids area is not, there's no water, so it's not a water park, but there are different.
Yet.
Well, insurance area, it causes flooding damage. It's expensive. But the meeting areas for the different, like, you know, preschooler, young elementary, older elementary are called tree houses, and they look like they, you know, you walk in and it's like walking through this ginormous tree trunk into a tree themed area, and that's kind of all painted down the hallways. So yeah, it's a little bit Berenstain Bears ish in that area. This, again, this is the main campus. The campus that I meet in meets in the basement of a church because the main sanctuary is so crappy we can't meet in it. So we're like the we're the redheaded stepchildren. But again,
dude, you're like the punk. You're like the punk rock, like hipster camp. You're the campus that gives legitimacy to the big JFK Stadium campus.
That's true.
It's true. That's actually why I go to this campus, because I was like, oh, that's actually like they're the legitimized ones where things are grimy and dirty and like Christians are supposed to be instead of all flashy and
stuff. Well, Piper, you're on the happy rant now, man. You got your rep. You got to keep your rep, man. You can't go to that big.
I saw one comment from a listener about this Andy Stanley thing that I thought was very funny. He said, I'm really glad somebody's finally standing up for the mega churches because they're always getting picked on by the little guys.
Dude, let me ask you this just as a kind of big picture meta question here. Do you think after guys like us like abuse mega churches up one side and down the other for years, do you think mega churches will somehow become hipster? Do you think in like 5 years we'll be talking about how hipster mega churches are?
Dude, you know, I get what you're saying. Like, are we going to have a total reversal of the whole thing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think so. I mean, there like are some like hipster oriented mega churches. I'm trying to think of who would fall into that category.
Would Drisky's church like initially have fallen into that?
Whose church?
In Seattle.
Driscoll?
Yeah, that started small and hipster, and then like it accidentally just like grew out of proportion, so it kind of kept its, but it doesn't matter because they all build like the auditoriums out, they all add all of the same. It feels like there's one guy that builds all these churches, because when you go into them, regardless of how they started, they all tend to like follow the same like thematic pattern with how they've been built.
Well,
you know,
like,
what I mean?
And from a church structure and leadership standpoint, the bigger a church gets, the more sort of they all become somewhat homogenous in the challenges that they face and the programs run. Like, they can describe their uniqueness however they want, and they can put whatever pictures they want on the wall and give whatever vibe, whether it's traditional or dimly lit hipster stuff or, you know, smoke and mirrors, whatever. Like, they're all kind of the same in terms of the characteristics. And I think that's why people throw stones, because they look at it and they go, oh, they're all just programmatic. Well, that's not a fair criticism. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of good things about it too. I mean, we've talked about this, where like every different tier of church size has its benefits. Andy Stanley's comments. Now, to be fair, he did come out and give an apology of sorts, and he said, "I don't understand." You know, he's like, "I don't even know why I said that. I think I was dumb in saying that." Yeah, but
hold on, Piper. He doesn't know why he said that, even though like all of what he said was on his like projection, which means it was totally pre-planned and said in advance.
Yeah, his response after the fact was basically like, I think I was dumb for saying that,
I don't know, he acted like it was in the moment, like, dude, I just started vamping and this is what came out. It's like, dude, no. It was
like,
on the screen in print behind you.
I feel like he must have been a target of a certain discernment blogger who rips on large successful ministries or something, and just like it hit a nerve, and so he decided to go after it or something. Like, it, there had to be something that triggered that, because it was utterly unnecessary. It was a weird thing to say, and it wasn't true on the one hand. I mean, it's nonsense. Because I would venture to say, you could argue that people who take their kids to a mega church are selfish, because they're trying to, you know, find the best programs for their kids that they can pawn their kids off on, or they're trying to find the easiest like onboarding into the church instead of doing the hard work of meeting people and serving and being in community. And like, you can spin this however you want. I can point at every church and say, that church sucks. Or I can point to just about every church and say, that church has some great things going for it. So to just paint with a broad brush is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it was coming. I think he's a guy that is, you know, look, from our tribe, man, you know, nobody's going to give Stanley any props, and he's going to come under criticism for his, like, super topical, bombastic, you know, just that whole thing that he does in terms of like whatever it takes to get people in the seats kind of mentality. And so he's just he probably gets a little sensitive to getting criticism from people that he might even like to be in the same camp as theologically in some ways, you know, but he's never going to be received into that.
But he thrives on being separate, kind of doing his own thing, marching to the beat of his own drum, where like he'll get close to a certain theological camp, but then make some statements about gay marriage or whatever that make that camp uncomfortable. And so all of a sudden, he's created distance between it. And I mean, honestly, overall, I have a lot of respect for Stanley and a lot of the things that he and North Point do. This particular statement rubbed me quite a bit the wrong direction. I mostly laughed at it. Like, I wasn't offended and angry. I was just like, are you serious? Like, you just said those words out loud on a stage. but, I mean, his leadership stuff, like the stuff when he speaks it to something like a catalyst, when he's giving practical leadership advice, it's pretty strong stuff. But it just – I don't know. Like, this
maybe.
One, this one. What'd you
maybe
say?
Maybe, Piper. Maybe.
you wouldn't know. You go to hipster conferences, not catalyst, because catalyst is too mainstream now.
Yeah, I just don't go to Catalyst because I only get booked to play, you know, to speak at D-list conferences.
Well, and it's a conference, not a gathering. You do the gathering thing, not the conference.
There you go.
Cigars on the gathering circuit.
Sorry. Right. I forget that's an entirely separate circuit, even though we just talked about it.
It's only for people that meet in the basement of 200-person churches because the sanctuary is really horrible.
Yeah. Well, can I get in on that then? That's me. Or because we're a campus, does it not count because we're still kind of part of the mothership?
Yeah, it doesn't count because you're part of the mothership. Man. You just, yeah, sorry.
Oh, well, it was worth a shot.
I mean, I want, Piper, hear me when I say I want you there. I don't make the rules.
I will say this. At least one of us still loves our kids, sort of.
Ooh. Ooh. Man, we haven't had tension like this since Trogues left.
Oh, man, it's rough today. A lot of disagreements. Yeah, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go with Piper on that Stanley love that he just threw out very liberally into our podcast.
Well, but, you know what? Liberal is my middle name. Don't you forget. Yeah.
That's what Barnabas keeps us strong. We can disagree, but we still keep our rep, right, Big T?
Yeah, absolutely, baby. We always keep our rep, bro. All right, fellas, I'm going to use this Stanley controversy as a little bit of a bridge, a little bit of a segue into our last topic, because I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at the Christianity Today piece on Stanley, which has a big picture of him. And I'm realizing that he looks exactly like a character from a show that we're binge watching on Netflix right now called The Flash. He looks like the bad guy. This guy named Wells, Harrison Wells, looks exactly like this picture of Andy Stanley. So we got a question from a listener. What shows are you binge watching right now on Netflix or Amazon Prime? For us, it's The Flash. That's one that we watch with our kids. The boys really enjoy it. And our kind of after hour show right now is 30 Rock, man. We love 30 Rock, Tina Fey.
Nice.
Alec Baldwin. We've actually watched that show before, so we're just enjoying that again. But what about you?
That's maybe one of the best comedy to come out in the last 10 years.
Dude, I think it is. I think it's really smart. It's really funny. It makes fun of everybody. It makes fun of conservatives, liberals, you know, everybody. So there's just there's a lot to like about it. We love it. What about you, Big R? You watching anything currently?
Dude, you know what? I'm still getting past, you know, just a lot of the sadness and the fear and
doubt
that has infiltrated my life since the season finale of Downton Abbey.
Baby, I'm not going to lie to you guys on that, man. I mean, there's an emptiness.
There is an emptiness.
You know, I walk around and I don't even know what I'm going to do on Sunday evening anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've been seeing, you know, I'm talking to somebody right now to get through it. So we're
doing a little. You know what? Don't be alone in that, Big R.
Yeah, I know.
you need people to help you through it. And
I appreciate, I really appreciate that. That means a lot. It helps a lot. But yeah, but other than that, getting past Downton, I'm not really much of a, binge watcher. I mean, I guess the most recent thing of the last couple of years that this is completely embarrassing, mm-hmm. would be this senior citizen show on CBS called Blue Bloods that Melissa and I got kind of hooked into with Tom Selleck.
Maybe I've seen the
editorial comment. If it's on CBS, it's a senior show. That was redundant.
Oh, it is? Okay. See, I'm not up on all that. So yeah,
like NCIS. Dude, it also looks like all those senior shows. They can be fun, okay. But they're senior shows.
It also looks like seniors having crazy sex kind of show. Am I right about that?
Oh, Blue Bloods? No, dude. It's totally PG rated.
Yeah, it's
and,
like Irish Catholic family values, police family in New York.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different show, I think.
Well, and it's oddly, it's weird. Like, it's network, right? But it's weirdly like conservative in terms of like morality.
Interesting.
And so it's really fascinating because it is like, CBS.
Almost every episode ends with this big family who are working in various parts of law enforcement sitting down for a big Sunday dinner at the dinner table. Granddad's
house. It always ends at the dinner table.
Yeah. I mean, literally every single episode ends that way. And it's shtickish, but it's the kind of shtick that you're like, it's like a sign off, you know? And so it's kind of like Rachel the Held Evans kind of thing, except maybe a bit more wholesome. I'm not sure. But
it's like what it does is it's like there's like a warmth to it because like the family, they're arguing the whole episode, but they always get together at the end, sharing Sunday dinner after mass, you know, and all of that. So there's I don't know. We just got kind of roped into it because of the characters. And but that would be the last thing that we kind of said, oh, awesome, man. We got like three seasons we can go through on this thing, and we kind of did it. But other than that, we're not so into it. But what about you, Piper?
I just finished watching Justified, which is it was an FX.
Oh, yeah.
It's an FX show. So it's like it's not like HBO level rough. But you know, but since it's cable, it can be a little rougher. But it's a really funny show. Like it's like a gunslinging U.S. Marshal in Kentucky, bringing down drug dealers and stuff. But it's really cleverly written. It was originally based off of books by Elmore Leonard, who was a really clever author. But it's suspense, it's action. The actors are phenomenal. Like Timothy Oliphant's the main character, and then I'm forgetting his name. The character's name is Boyd Crowder. He's the main villain, and he's a guy you'd recognize if you saw him. I'm totally blanking on his name, but every single actor in it is top notch. It is a really fun show, and there's six seasons. It's on Amazon Prime, not Netflix. But that was one that I just finished. I watched season one of Better Call Saul, which I was.
Oh yeah, how is that?
I was skeptical because Breaking Bad was so good, and I was nervous that a spinoff show would ruin it. But they did a really good job of balancing like the quality of Breaking Bad with a different flavor because it's built around Saul Goodman's character. And
I didn't know that was a break-off. Okay, I didn't know that.
So the lawyer in Breaking Bad, Saul Goodman, he's kind of a bit character in that, but he's like the main comic relief throughout it. So it's entirely his backstory and how he got to be that guy, and it's funny and it's good. I really enjoyed it. I made the mistake of watching it because there's only one season out, and I should have waited until the second one came out so that I could extend my enjoyment a little bit. But and then I like the Netflix original Marvel shows. Daredevil and Jessica Jones were both really good. I like those a lot. So
nice.
I will binge watch. I will try just about anything once. Usually I don't make it through a whole show, though, because I'll make it through half a season and kind of peter out. But those are ones that I knocked out because I thought they were so good.
Nice.
Boys, it's been a good program. We've wandered to and fro as we are wont to do. And as always, the boys from Resonate Recording work their magic of making us sound good, which we learned off the air, Barnabas. The big R is really not a fan of sounding good. It's actually more hipster to sound bad and have poor audio quality. So maybe
maybe we can work
with the boys at Resonate to make us sound worse.
You know what I mean? Like sort of a like a gramophone kind of thing, or like a 1920s era where you can like hear the hissing and the popping and there's no bass to it. Maybe like a hand crank kind of record
player. Well, I just think I just think every podcast should just go straight to vinyl. I mean, if we're going to really do, if we're going to really,
absolutely,
we're going to be richness, hipster.
The warmth,
it is,
you know.
The only downside to that is distributing vinyl through the internet is a challenge. That
You know what? The true fans would get it.
Yeah. Oh, they would absolutely get it. So we'd send out about 2 vinyls a week.
Yeah.
And it'd be great.
Well, and we could do like an entire B-sides podcast. It would be like our sort of offbeat stuff, maybe the less
yeah,
happy
it'd be
of
our, it'd be our edgier stuff, Piper, yeah. Our edgier stuff. You know?
All for kidding sure, aside, but I would be so stoked if we put out a vinyl of some of our best apps.
Guys, should we talk? I mean, should we tell our audience that we have lately been talking about doing some live podcasts?
Yeah, some kind of a live confab. Sure. Yeah. Could we have a gathering? A happy rant gathering?
Well, see, that's what I want to say is I want to get some people together because I would like to have an audience. So I want to get some listeners together that might be interested in kind of meeting in the middle someplace and having us do a couple of live podcasts with an audience.
That'd be amazing.
Let's drum up some interest for that.
Yeah, so maybe we can have listeners weigh in on Twitter on that idea.
Yeah, Twitter at Happy Rant Pod, or find us on Facebook and hit us up there. We do have a Facebook page. We haven't pushed that one in a little while, but yeah, it'd be, if we get enough responses, we will figure out a way to make that work. I'm sure we can.
Absolutely.
We just need to have enough listener response that we don't show up and do a podcast in a room for 6 of you, because that's not even a gathering.
We need at least 16 of you. Yeah. Because we're going to do a gathering, not a conference. Let's keep that in mind.
Maybe it's a gathering. Big square table, a couple of microphones.
Well, if we get beyond a gathering, it doesn't have to be a conference. It can be an event.
Okay.
And so that even, you know.
Well, now we're starting to sound like Andy Stanley. I don't know.
Dude, an event is a conference with no food.
No. All right. Well, and cooler lights.
And no gift bag. Yeah. And what?
And no bookstore.
No bookstore, no gift bag, no food. Just
We can't sell our books. Is that what you're saying? I mean, that's not acceptable at all.
No, but we could sell our vinyls. We can sell our.
We can sell our vinyls, right?
Yeah.
we could sell our vinyls. Yeah, we could bring in. We could bring in missional wear to sell their good too. So we wouldn't really have to provide swag. That could be their deal. They could make that happen.
Guys, well, I think what we're doing right now is planning a conference.
We're
the
planning
Happy
a conf.
Conference.
This
that's
is
what that
sounds
like we're doing.
Oof.
Yeah. So.
I'm already planning a conference for work. I'm not interested in planning another one. Let's.
I think you are, Barnabas. I think you are. You know, I mean, I think with missional wear coming in, I mean, I think we already have vendors now.
Do you have a pet bird,
vendors?
What?
Do you have a pet bird? I hear a bird in the background.
Yeah, I have birds, you know, flying around me. I like to do the podcast in the midst of bird song. Yes,
we can get the birds for the conf. No worries.
Oh, dude, yeah, absolutely. They already confirmed.
And Big R, after we go off the air, maybe you and I can talk a bit about the right kind of quinoa salad for the event.
Oh, absolutely. Or as most of my friends like to call it, quinoa salad. Yes.
Quinoa. As they say in Ohio, quinoa.
Exactly.
Boys, with that, I have to sign off. I have to go do college campusy things for the rest of the day. So we have wandered to and fro. It's been a pleasure. Until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
I'm Don Hawkins, and I once heard Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy say, "You can tell if a person needs encouragement, check to see if they're breathing." I'd like to invite you to my weekly podcast, Encouragement for You, featuring encouraging guests like Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, the late Dr. Frank Menrith, Josh McDowell, and more. To subscribe to my weekly Encouragement for You podcast, go to lifeaudio.com. That's lifeaudio.com.